Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast. I hope you found that interesting. I like that prayer at the end, "Enkindle in us the power of your love." That's some powerful praying right there. Fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. If you pray for nothing else, at least pray to be filled with the Spirit of love, because that's what it's all about. I've said that many times here, that really love is what it's all about. To be a follower of Jesus is to live this life of love and to trust in God's love for us. I've said that many times. Although one thing I don't often say is to give credit to the Holy Spirit for that. We don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, which is probably unfortunate, and that's more my fault than anyone else's. But we should, because it's the Spirit, as the video said, it's the Spirit that gives us strength, that helps us. The Spirit is part of God's power born through us. You know, we can rely on the strength of the Spirit. I like the part in there where it says, being a Christian can be really difficult sometimes. We're called to make sacrifices. We're asked to live in a way that's not always easy or natural or expected by the people around us. So it can be difficult, but the Spirit is there to help. And it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that came down on Pentecost with flames, tongues of flames lighting on people's heads, and it gave them the power to speak other languages, or at least to comprehend other people's languages so they could understand one another. It brought the people together. It was a communion of all these different people that were there. There were so many languages being spoken in Jerusalem. The Jewish people had come in to celebrate their Pentecost, which Pentecost actually goes back 1,000 years even before that or so. It's a celebration of the giving of the law to Moses. So the Pentecost had been celebrated for a long time, and over time the Jewish people had moved all over the Mediterranean, all over the Middle East, and so they were speaking whatever languages they would speak in the countries that they were from. They had gathered there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost festival, and then this new thing happened with the Holy Spirit coming down on them. And then we call that now the birthday of the church. But there's all these people with different languages, even cultures. You know, they're all Jewish, so they share a religion, but their cultures are going to be somewhat different. And their languages are different, and they're gathered there in Jerusalem, and they understand one another. The Spirit brings them into this community. And as I've been thinking about Pentecost and thinking about this scripture this week, it's that sentence about them being able to understand each other, understanding each other's languages, that's really stuck out for me. Thinking about language, how we communicate with one another, and wondering, what is the language of the church? What is the language maybe of Jesus? I think also of how many languages we have here in this world, thousands of languages spoken by people all over the world. And there are a whole bunch of languages that we've lost, that have just disappeared. No one speaks them anymore. And there are languages now that are close to becoming extinct. Some of our Native American tribes, only a few people left that speak certain languages. Some of the Pacific Islanders, other places in Europe, there have been kind of small, separated enclaves with unique languages, but as we become more global and people are moving around a lot more and dominant languages are kind of taking over some of these smaller, older languages. Language. As I thought of languages, I had that thought in my mind when I went to the farmer's market yesterday. This might seem like an odd segue, but thinking about languages, I went to the farmer's market yesterday, the one down at Phoenix Park, and if you have not been there yet this year, I will recommend, there's a new baker that comes from Elk Mound that just started there this year with incredible breads and cookies. Really good. And I bought a rye bread a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing. And tried some kind of cookie. It was an oatmeal caramel raisin cookie, I think. Just go. Farmer's market is great. So I went back to the guy because I wanted some more bread. So I went to his booth, and I got there about 11 o'clock or so. And already, he was almost completely out of everything. There was just a couple of loaves of bread there at the time. And so as I came up, I asked, "Do you have a loaf of rye bread left?" And he said, "Yes, I do." So he reached down and he picked one up and he handed it to me and he said, "Have a good day." And that was it. And I must have looked puzzled. And he said, "That's for you. Have a good day." And I thought, well, as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus, I'm interested in acts of generosity. Why is this guy giving me the bread? So I asked him this incredibly coherent and beautiful question about generosity. I looked at him and I went, huh? And he said, "Well, I'm a Christian and I follow the loaves and fishes model, where Jesus had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and fed thousands of people." So he said, "I always give away the last 5 loaves. Always get." So that one is for you. And then I said, "I'm a pastor," and we had a wonderful conversation there. I follow that loaves and fishes model of Jesus and always give away the last 5 loaves. And I don't remember if he said he does that as a gift to God or as just a gift to the person or quite how he worded it. But I was just struck by someone who was willing to take their faith outside the walls of the church. To take their faith outside the walls of the church. And especially that he would take his faith into his career, into his business. Take his being a follower of Jesus into a lot of his life. That's listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. And as a pastor, you know, that really warms my heart and it excites me whenever I see someone doing things outside of these walls simply because of our faith. I do this because Jesus asks me to do it, or because Jesus modeled it for me. To take the experiences that they have at church, what they've read in Scripture, and make that kind of application to their life outside that hour of worship. That's exciting. That's exciting. So there's a language thing there. It's still related to language and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has empowered this man to be willing to give away some of what he has made, to take a loss because he knows that life is more than just profit. There's sharing, generosity. And what it said to me about language, and it's after he did that that I really started thinking about this, that there is a shared language in humanity. And we have the languages, English, Spanish, French, whatever, these kind of languages that we speak. But there is, I think, a shared human language, and that's the language of generosity, of kindness, of sharing, the language that we act out, not with words, but with our actions. Generosity, kindness, compassion, these are languages anyone in the world can understand. And I thought about how much Jesus' ministry was done through that language. He spoke Aramaic, more than likely, maybe knew Greek, maybe not. And he used words sometimes to teach, but most of his ministry was done through the language of compassion and caring, listening to people, kindness. I think one could even imagine Jesus' ministry, those 2 or 3 years of his ministry, being done in silence because it was so action-based. So action-based. Not so much just dumping words on people to tell them who they should be or what they should be, but acts of kindness and generosity. And on Pentecost, they all understood each other. No matter where they came from, they all understood each other. And there's no reason that that could not happen again. Because we humans do have this common language that we understand, not the language of words, but this language of sharing, being in relationship with one another. I was in Japan a couple years ago, in Matsuyama, and it was a very hot day, very humid day. Yuki had gone to work, my partner, and I had gone out for the day, kind of in the afternoon, just to walk around and see things, and I was sitting on a bench, just to try to cool off. I was probably reading, and an older Japanese woman walked by, and she kind of looked at me. We made eye contact, smiled. There's a shared language, just to make eye contact and smile to recognize each other, and then she went on. And I was sitting there, and a couple of minutes later, she came back, and she had a kind of popsicle with her. Nice, frozen, cold popsicle. And I don't speak Japanese other than to be able to say thank you and be somewhat gracious. I had there's no way I could have asked her why she did this or what it was for, but I could tell through her actions and her face, she gave me this popsicle. Probably she saw me and thought, wow, he looks hot. He looked not like beautiful hot. He probably looked, because it's a hot day, he's sweating, and could use this icy little treat. And so she gave it to me. It's shared language. We had no words that we could say to each other than to say thank you. But we connected. There was a human connection there. Yeah, I think of that baker yesterday. He could have told me about Jesus until he was blue in the face, using his words. Could have talked about Jesus for hours, and he never would have said as much about who Jesus is or what his faith means to him as he did by handing me a loaf of bread. That's a language we all can share. Don't tell me about Jesus. Be Jesus. Be Jesus for me. Be Jesus for others. Yeah, in our street ministry, we don't go down there to tell people about Jesus. They don't need to hear from us about Jesus. It's not particularly helpful to them. So we don't go down there to tell them about Jesus. We go there to be Jesus for them and to allow them to be Jesus for us. Because they don't need to listen to us. We need to listen to them. Their spirituality is already way up. We have much to learn from them. Which means not going there with an agenda to fix them or to put our stuff on them, but to allow the Holy Spirit to move between us. And as it moves between us in that human language, that godly language of compassion, of listening to one another, of sharing with one another, that holy moment when the Spirit comes and we understand each other and become one. Powerful moments. The Holy Spirit building community. I was down there Friday night outside Sojourners. A number of us were down there working the street ministry, and there was a woman that had come early on and mentioned that she really wanted a cigarette and was hoping that some other people would come soon so that she could maybe get a cigarette from them, and then she left. And then later on, as there were a bigger crowd of people, she came back, and she walked up to another woman, and she probably has bought cigarettes from her before, walked up to another woman and said, "Could I buy a cigarette from you?" And that woman said, "Oh, I don't have any cigarettes, but I do have a pouch of tobacco to roll our own. But I don't have any rolling papers," she said. And then a third woman walks by and goes, "Well, I have rolling papers, but I don't have any tobacco." And so the three of them kind of get together, and that first woman that had asked for the cigarette says, "Well, I don't even know how to roll a cigarette." And the other two said, "We'll show you. We'll show you." And so they sat down. They sat down on the pavement in the parking lot there with these three women ready to share. They sat down and formed this circle, this intimate circle, a trinity of women. As one opened the pouch of tobacco, the other opened up the rolling papers, and they taught the first woman how to roll a cigarette, and they sat there in communion with one another for a few minutes, sharing. communing, being generous, showing love toward one another, forming this beautiful little community right there. And it just doesn't get any more Pentecostal than that. That's the moment. They all understood each other's language because they were speaking the language of grace, speaking the language of kindness, of generosity, the language of love. Amen. And that is the good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.